This is Victory House.
Let's go into the Word of God this morning. We have been looking at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Because the Word of God to us in this season as a house is that I will do a new thing. I want you to say it loud and clear as if you believe it. Say, I know that in my life, God will do a new thing. Say, I will not be used to the old things. I will know that God will do a new thing. So we've been looking at Isaiah chapter 43. And that's how we will start this morning. Isaiah 43. And then we will start from verse 18. Isaiah 43 and verse 18. Okay, we have it on the screen. The Bible says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Move to 19. Shall you not know it? Will you not be aware of it? Or if you are aware of it, you will speed it up. You will bring it in because I will do a new thing. I will even make a way in the wilderness. I thought God is talking to somebody this morning. God is saying, I will make a way in the wilderness. He says, I'm going to bring forth rivers in the desert. If you hear of impossibility, please always count God out. There are no impossibilities with God. There are no close case. Oh, that one, forget about it. Let's just live with it. No, when we're talking about God, he always has options. He can make way where there is no way. He's not bound to the elements. He's not bound to the things that are happening. He can make a way. But there is something that I want to bring to your attention in our discussion this morning. The Bible said, behold. The word behold in itself has a lot of things inside, which I talked a little bit about becoming last week. And even in today, I want to talk about be aware. In that behold, there is that there. But in later part of that scripture, he says, behold, I will do a new thing. Shall you now it shall spring forth. And he now says, shall you not know it? In another word, will you not be aware of it? So this morning I want to challenge us that you should be aware. I want you to tell your neighbor, say, be aware. There is a text I want us to just use to help us understand this. It is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17 from verse 25 to 52. It's a long read. I will read a few verses and then come around and summarize it. I will read a few verses from 1 Samuel 17. It's a popular scripture that many people know, but it still bears power to read the Word of God, because the Word of God by itself is blessed without any explanation to it. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is the story of when David encountered Goliath. 1 Samuel 17 and from verse 25. The Bible said, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up, talking to David? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free of taxes in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine? Verse 27, and takes away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that kills him. Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and was angry, or his anger kindled against David. And he said, why did you come to here, and with whom have you left all those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart, for you have come down that you will see the battle. And that is verse 29. Let's jump a little bit to verse 38. Because in verse 29, he was still finding about what's going on here. And trying to understand what's happening about the battle. And then he decided he was going to fight. And then they brought him to Saul in verse 38. The Bible said in verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with the coat of mail. And David guarded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. He couldn't move with it. And David said unto Saul, I can't go with this. This is not going to work out, for I have not proved it. And David put them off him. And verse 40, the Bible says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose the 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag with which he had, even in his crib. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine, who is Goliath, came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, or he despised him, for he was a youth, or for he was a young guy, or was a young boy. He was actually a teenager, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you will come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I don't know who you go out with this morning. I don't know if you are going with your resume. I don't know if there's somebody here who is going with, I have been around church for a long time. Those things are not good enough weapons, but it is a weapon that is greater than every other weapon. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. David said, you have come to me with all kinds of artillery and all kinds of things to fire, but I have come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I don't know if there's anybody here who knows that there is a name given among men where men can be saved. That at the mention of that name, every knee shall bow. If you believe in the efficacy of the name of Jesus, one loud time shout, Jesus! Excuse me. There are names and there are names. The name of Jesus commands authority in all the realms. There are realms beyond this earth realm. There are realms. But the name of Jesus commands authority. I want you to shout it loud like you know that that name can work for you. I want you to picture the problem. I want you to picture the need. I want you to picture that old thing that God is turning into new. And I want you to give it a big shout one more time. Shout the name Jesus. Amen. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hands, and I will smite you and take your head from you. Oh God. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air. You see why we always make confession here? We become what we say. Our confession is our possession. David did not kill Goliath with stone. It was words. Look at all the words he was saying here. He was saying, I will do this, I will do this. Why don't you just go and do it? No, you have to say it to see it. I declare over you that as you have shouted the name of Jesus, every knee in your life that is objecting to the Lordship of Jesus bows in Jesus' name. Carcasses of the host of the Philistines, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. There is still a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not by sword or spear. God does not save by experience. God does not save by what you have or what you don't have. There are people that you have believed believe the lie of the devil, what I have come to do this morning is to shift your focus. You have believed that you don't have something. You have believed in your disadvantage. You have believed in what is not for you. You have not looked unto what is for you, because they that are with you are more than they that are against you. So what is not for you, irrespective, if God be for us, who can successfully be against us? I declare over you that very area of shame, that very thing that you have failed in, you're going back there and you will succeed. I say you will succeed in the name of Jesus. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not by the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Every battle is the battle of the God. It's the God of the idols. It's the God of the wrong guys and your God. Don't look at that issue as just that issue. It's the battle of the God. Hand it over to him. When we come to church like this, what we do is hand it over to him, because it's the battle of the God. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. He answers on your behalf this week in the name of Jesus. And he will give you into our hands. 48. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted. David moved with speed. I like that song that they were singing, that it's a new level. I'm gaining speed. There are people listening to me. They may just be three people, myself, my wife, and some other guy, that God is giving them speed. In the name of Jesus, God is accelerating you. You are catching up. You are going farther than you have gone. In the name of Jesus. The Bible said he ran toward him. You would have thought that David would be sizing him up and saying, where will I? He said, David advanced. He gained speed. He moved. He took the advantage. And then the Bible said, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. Somebody say, one shot. The devil that came against you doesn't know where he came against. I declare they will fall before you. There are things that have happened to some of us in the last few days, few weeks. If the devil knew what those things will do for you, you wouldn't have allowed it. But I declare concerning you that your story will be like that of Joseph, that the devil meant it for evil, but God turns it to good. That setback becomes a comeback in the name of Jesus. That loss becomes profit in the name of Jesus. That heartache, God uses as a major testimony. From that mess, a message comes out in Jesus' precious name. All right, let's move to verse 50. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. And then verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out and off his sheath thereof and slew him. And verse 52. Verse 51 still. And cut off his head and therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. That's how things are going to flee in your life in the name of Jesus. God will take out their head so that all the cohorts and the armies, they will flee in the name of Jesus. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistine fell down by the way to the Shirim, to the Shirim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. I want you to say, victory belongs to the Lord. In this story that we just read real briefly, it shows us how God moves people from an old thing to a new thing. Remember that the story of David was that in verse 16, David had been anointed. David had become another man. I started last week talking about the fact that this new thing that God wants to do, he wants to do a new thing. And because it is a new thing, he wants to work on the man. He wants to do something on you so that your capacity will be able to receive things, will be able to draw, will be able to bring in the new thing that God wanted to do. So what God did for David was, David was anointed in verse 16, in chapter 16. So David was another man. He had become another man. Now, when he got to chapter 17, he now met Goliath. You would have thought that Goliath would limit him. So one of the things that the devil likes to do is to place limitations on our life. And there were some limitations that we can see in the story of David. Let's walk through them. The first limitation that we see here, number one limitation, is other people's opinion. Other people's opinion. When David came in verse 17, David was still asking the man, what happened? What's going on here? His brothers came and said, oh, we know that you are a presumptuous person. We know that you are proud. We know that. So David could have bowed down to the pressure of other people and said, I don't want to be proud, oh. Just like some people will do. God is trying to set up a table before you. And somebody said something. And you say, well, I don't want to appear proud. They already, whether you appear proud or you don't appear proud, they think you are proud anyway. So be proud in God. Boast about your God. Let them lose their sleep. That's their problem. Be proudly a child of God. Let God do you proud. Let it be between you and God. In fact, I've said this before, that when people say they are humble and they are humbly saying they are humble, many of the time it is pride for them saying it. So they were telling David, you are a proud guy. You are this guy. You are that guy. And David could have taken that in. David could have internalized that opinion of other people. There are people listening to me this morning. There are people that have told you many things you cannot do. And let me tell you, once people start telling you things you can't do, and you are sure God told you, or God inspired you, or you received it from God, be excited. Because you now find yourself in the category of champions. That is what they always tell people until they do it. That is what they told the guys that made the airplane. They said, you can never do that. That is what they've told many, many people that succeeded. I remember several years ago, I was in this Chicago, and one so older person came to visit me. He had been telling me that I should move to New York because some of you know my mom lives in New York. And I said, no, I'm not going to New York. God has something for me in Chicago. And then we started talking politics. And this was about the time Barack Obama was trying to contest for the Democratic nominee. Not even, he wasn't the nominee there. Then I said, I believe the guy can win. And the man told me, he's a lawyer. He has been a lawyer in America, maybe almost older than how old I am, you know. So the guy was like, what are you talking about? I live in New York. I know the Clinton machine. These guys know how to do politics. How can Obama survive that? He can't even win the nomination. And I just told him, I said, I believe this guy can win. I believe it is possible for this guy to win. I didn't even say to win the nomination, to win the presidency. And what happened? The rest, like they say, is history. They told the guy that it's not yet your time. They told him that you are just a junior senator from Illinois. Why don't you even become a senior senator or now become a speaker or whatever you are official in the Senate before you run for presidency? But it defied the odd, and the things they tell many, many people about greatness, that it is not possible, that you cannot do it, that no, it's not done like that. And if you learn how to shut your ear to the opinion of others, I'm not saying don't take feedback from people. I'm not saying don't get better because of what people tell you. But any opinion that criticizes the grace of God upon your life, that belittles you. Somebody said there are some people, they like to belittle people because they are little people themselves. So anything that belittles you, they come to you and they say, who do you think you are? Don't argue with them. Leave them alone. I love what David said. David did not do too much argument. He first talked to the brother. He just asked the question, is there not a cause? The brother did not answer. He just went to another person and started the conversation. As I was saying, that's what you should do about the dreams that God has put in your heart. When they tell you it's not possible, you say, I have heard, sir. I have heard, ma'am. And then you continue and go and do it anyway and come back and say, the battle is the Lord's. God has given us victory. If you believe that God has given you victory, will you shout victory? So what limits people? Other people's opinion. You'll be surprised. Many, many people. Teacher told them. Teacher, you cannot. I mean, Pastor is here. A teacher told him, you don't know English. You are going to be terrible with English. He has, at least I know one book now. I think there's another book coming. A terrible person with English. When people read the book, they are like, well, sometimes when I'm joking with you, I said, that English teacher, she made a mistake. You know, because people, there are so many people. I have even had people come to me. They'll say, I know you. They'll say, I know you. Even me, the opinion that I've had of myself sometimes as being negative about myself. I will tell myself, I know what I can do. But many of the times, you know what you have done. You don't know the new things God can do. If God tells you something, whether the past helps you to achieve it or not, don't consult the past. Consult the God that told you. Because the future may not look like the past. You may be a shepherd boy, but you may be a king in the making. The fact that you were watching over sheep does not mean you will not watch over people. Let no past put you under pressure. You are going forward. I want you to tell 3, 4, 5 people, tell them you are going forward. Oh, shaka bletuskidaba. Thank you, Father. So in 1 Samuel 17, 27 and 28, they were discouraging him. By 33 too, Saul, he said, my son, you can't take off this guy. Experience, the voice of experience was telling him, you can't take off this guy. So that was people's opinion. Another thing that can limit people is they consider their age, whether they are too old or too young, so their youthfulness or inexperience. Youthfulness, agedness, or inexperience. I have not done this before. There are people listening to me this morning. There are things God is stirring up in your heart. It does not look like all the things that you have done. Everything around you does not look like that. And can I speak to this audience this morning? I have also discovered something. Especially with an immigrant community, we soon revise the vision that we had with God initially. Because of survival, there are people listening to me this morning. You should be business owner. You have no business doing that work you are doing from, and it's not making any ends meet. It's the only thing it has allowed you to do is to send money somewhere. But that's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to have a business. And some of you that are listening to me this morning, let me shock you. It's not even in America. I know, Pastor, what are you saying? Yes. Be bold enough that God, whatever you are telling me to do, and wherever it is, I will go there. Can somebody say amen to that? There are many things God has for you and I, but sometimes we let where we have been be a dictator to where we are going. We let what we have seen suggest what will happen in the future. People will tell you something, oh, just go like this, play it safe. Like somebody will say, they tell you to play it safe as if anybody is going to make it out of this world alive. We are all going to die in this world. it's not like we are playing it safe. So that when you just get to the end, you say, ah, thank God I'm alive, I made it today. No, it's, unless Jesus comes, even when Jesus comes, there will be some form of death, because the Bible said immortality will put on... Mortality will put on immortality. That means the present body will still die. It will fall off. So even in rapture, people will still kind of die. Because the spirit will be the one that will come out and the body will be left there. So what does that mean? It means that there's no value in playing all these things too safe. You are just walking so carefully, so cautiously, and all of that kind of thing. And then you are allowing your age. You are allowing the fact that you are inexperienced. I was reading a book, and it was chronicling so many people that did great things before they were 30. There are people listening to me this morning. You're thinking you are too young. You are too young to do ministry. Oh, let me first go and play. You are too young to do anything God has called you to. There is nothing God has called you to. As long as you can read and write, you can understand. You have given your life to Jesus. You are qualified to do it. You are qualified to do it. There were kings in the Bible that became kings when they were older. There were kings in the Bible that became kings when they were youth, when they were young people. And the age did not make them do better than each other. There were kings that were old when they took over and they performed poorly. There were young kings that did very, very well. So let not your age, whether it is a young age or an old age, let it not be a barrier. Like David moved past his age. So what did David move past before he got to Goliath? The first thing was that he moved past people's opinion. Another thing he moved past was that he moved past his youthfulness or his age and inexperience. Another thing David moved past, and I believe this is one thing church people need to listen to, is tradition. Tradition, otherwise known as religion. The way we have always done it is the enemy of the way it should now be done. You know, so some people will say something like, let's do it the way we've been doing it, so that it will be like the way it has been being. The question is, how is it now? How is it now? Let's do church the way we used to do it, so that it can. Why should we? We have been doing it the way we have been doing it, and we have been seeing the result. And somebody said, if we don't change our approach, it may be our approach that will kill the dream. So don't let tradition hold you down. The way we've been doing it, this is how it is. Do you know why Jesus was not received by his people? It was tradition. They held so much to their tradition. In fact, Jesus had to tell them that you have held on so much to your tradition, and you have now made the word of God ineffective. There are many people that have held on to religion, held on to just rules, routines. I need to pray like this, you know, and then kneel down, and then do this. And then there's nothing wrong with kneeling down and praying in certain ways and all of that kind of thing. But if you don't allow God to inspire, if you don't allow God to evade tradition, because the tradition will be that whoever will kill Goliath will be a soldier, not a shepherd. So David could have come there and say, excuse me, please, where's the form for being a soldier? You know that they will kill all of them. Because Goliath, the Bible says he had been doing that old ranting thing for 40 days. So they were hard of time. So if David had come and said, let's follow tradition. The tradition is this. I need to be in the military. After all, three of my brothers are already in the military. So there are people that, some people, once you move, come into the United States, they give you a script. This is how, this is the path. This is the tradition. I have come in the name of Jesus. Every tradition that is destroying and delaying your destiny, I break it over your life in the name of Jesus. Please listen to me and listen very carefully. God can do a new thing. The path I went through, you don't have to go through it. Don't let my experience now be your own armor, like David. Saul was going to give some David. Don't let tradition hold you down. Ask God, as we are talking about this new thing, to break every tradition, to open your eyes to see traditions, to tell you this one is tradition, leave it alone, it's not the word of God. That one is tradition, leave it alone, it's not the word of God. Because if you don't do that, the Goliath will not die. The Goliath needs you to move past other people's opinion. The Goliath needs you to move past your age and inexperience. The Goliath needs you to move beyond tradition. And I like this other one. This other limitation and order. Because God dealt with it during prayer this morning. And that is fear. Fear. Fear is another limiting factor. In fact, fear is one of the greatest limiting factors of destiny. Fear. Fear. There are so many people that are just afraid. If the devil can get you to be afraid, he can get anything to happen to you. Job was a righteous man, scripture says. But in Job 3 and 25, the Bible says, Job said, what I have feared the most has come upon me. Meaning that our fear is like a magnet. We will attract the equivalent of our fear. There are so many people. I read the story, one very interesting story. There was this sign that had beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Big sign. And this man approached the sign and he was going and then suddenly he saw the door open and then he walked inside. He saw a man with a small dog. And he told the guy, are you serious? That this small dog has been able to keep people away? He said, no. The dog has not been able to keep people away. The fear of the dog has kept people away. That sign that people have read, beware of dogs, that has been what has kept. There are people listening to me today. What you are scared of is even scared of you. What you are supposed to be running toward, you are running away from. Because what you think is Goliath is your stepping stone. If you don't kill Goliath, your David will not ascend the throne. The throne that God has for you, Goliath is standing before him. And you have to run toward Goliath and kill your Goliath. Every Goliath standing in your front, I declare in the name of Jesus, they come down for you in Jesus' name. So you need to note these things. You need to understand that there are things that limit us. And if you don't conquer these things, Goliath will just be making noise. He will just be shouting. One of the things the devil knows how to do, you know, when the Bible was talking about spiritual warfare, it talks about the wiles of the enemy, the wiles of the devil. The devil is a master of making things seem bigger than they. It scares you. If you want to put the devil to run, just don't be moved. Even when you are moved, act as if you are not afraid. Do you think David would not have had some part of the world will say his mind was cutting? So, do you think David would have thought? The Bible said Saul was the tallest person in all of Israel than everybody. Goliath was taller than him. So even the sheer size of Goliath, is it not intimidating enough? The Bible said when Goliath spoke in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 38, verse 11 and verse 24. The Bible said when he spoke, people were so afraid. And I bet David too was afraid a little bit. But David moved in spite of the fear. David acted as if there was no fear. Blessed be God for man and woman that will move against their fear, that will act as if it would work, that will start that business as if it will work, that will not mind the conditions and will still go ahead. Can I tell you that the environment may not be conducive, the conditions may not be right, the rain may not look like it's going to fall, but if you prepare for the rain, if you are ready for what God will do, God will surprise you, because is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above what you can ask or think. It's going to show up for you. If you are that person, will your amen show it? So David had to move past people's opinion. He had to move past his age. He had to move past traditions. He had to move past fear. And I like you to know that fear is a force. Fear is a force. I love that song you sang, "I'm no longer a slave to fear." It's a force. There are people listening to me this morning. The reason why you are where you are now is that you are afraid of something. There is something you are afraid of. And when it's time to pray, I want you to mention that thing. Say, "I'm not afraid of you. I'm not even afraid of immigration." Can somebody say amen to that? I'm not. God will do what he wants to do irrespective of any crazy man or woman. Can somebody say amen to that? Because some people, don't talk. No. I'm not going to let the devil put me under pressure. No. I'm not going to let it. I will look at it in the face and say, "No, don't shout on me. I am the son of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Me too, I can roar. If you roar at me, I will roar back at you." Hey! Roar back at him. Fear is a force. And the final thing, or second to the final thing, that David was able to overcome was his family background. David was among 8 children. He was the last. By arrangement, because of family connections, David should not be the one to be killing Goliath. He should start from Eliab and Shammah, and then be moving down and moving down. His family background was not very nice. In fact, when the Bible was describing his father, he said his father was old in the days of Saul. That means his father was called old and they didn't have too many things. In fact, the Bible said concerning their sheep, if you read from verse 25, he said it was few sheep. So his background was supposed to put his back on the ground. But David did not let that background put his back on the ground. I'm praying for somebody this morning that whatever background you have found yourself that seemingly wants to put your back on the ground, that in the name of Jesus, you will rise above that ground. In the name of Jesus, God will lift you up in the name of Jesus. And the final thing I believe that David overcame was that David moved past the limitation in his mind. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Shall you not know it?" Will you not be aware of it? If you are not aware of it, you may not see it. If your mind limits you, you will be limited. My problem, major issue with you is not my own part of what I will do. I want you to know it. I want you to be able to be aware. I want your mind to receive it. I want you to be able to conceive it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, David killed Goliath before he killed Goliath. Somebody once said, everything is created twice. First in the spirit and then in the physical. In the spirit, and then it now moves through our mind. Because you know, man is a tripartite being. Man is essentially a spirit. Man has a suitcase or a house that he lives in called the body. Then man has a translator between the body or the physical and the spiritual, which is a spirit. And it is called the soul. It is called the mind. If man is to succeed from what has been concluded in the spirit, is the physical, the soul must cooperate. So if there is a limit in the mind, that man is limited forever. Remember the 12 spies? 12 people went to see a place. 12 people, the same place. 10 people came back and said, we can't go there. Why? In their mind, they couldn't go there. 2 people said they could go there. In their mind, they could go there. And God said that two of the camps were right. You that said you can't go, you won't go. You that said you will go, you will go. So when God said, I will do a new thing, sir, that new thing can stay with God. If you say no, you won't do a new thing. Have I not been seeing my menstruation every year? Have I not been in this country every year? That's how they'll be talking. But if you say, I believe it, it will do that new thing. I receive it. I download it. I break it down. That new thing will happen for you if you are that person. Shout amen. I'm going to begin to round off. So God wants you to win the battle here. Be aware. Be conscious. Your mind. Your mind. That's why when you come to church, let me tell you this. You'll get this. You are distracted. You know why? That's what the devil can steal. Because if the devil can steal your attention, he will steal your goods. If you can take your mind away from the word that you should be hearing, and then you will be on Facebook liking something that you can like two hours later. You are liking it in church. You are liking it when you should not be liking it. He knows he has stolen from you. So people will sit down in church, but the thief has still come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And people don't understand that if they can keep their mind, if they can keep their mind. You know the Bible says in Isaiah, I think 27, it says you will keep him in perfect peace. He was what? Mind. He stayed on him. So it's a mind game. The devil wants to get your mind. God wants to get your mind. The person that gets your mind wins the game. If God that says I will do a new thing gets your mind, he wins the game. If the devil that says the old thing will continue wins your mind, he wins the game. So the major victory David had over Goliath was in the mind. David broke that limitation in his mind. Because how could he have killed Goliath, sir? Shepherd boy, they gave him armor of Saul. He couldn't even walk in it. The Bible said he tried to go. The Christian said he assayed. I don't even know what the English meaning of assayed mean, but it looked like he forged ahead. It said, where are you going? Come back here. So he couldn't even wear armor. But one shot, sir. One shot, sir. Because if it is concluded in the mind, if it concluded in the spirit, agreed in the mind, the physical has no option. It will catch up with it. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many things that need to be catching up with you. You are chasing them in the physical. You need to conclude them in the spiritual. Download them into the mind. The physical will have no option. It will catch up. There is a catching up happening for somebody in this season in the name of Jesus. Let's wrap it up like this. Let's look at this scripture. I'll read from the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible said this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. This is New Living Translation. Oh, you guys also have it. Good. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you. Or let God make you into a new person. Let God do a new thing. By doing what? Changing the way you think. The King James Translation says, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some people in church have thought that it meant the removing of your mind. No. God still wants you to use the mind. God still wants you to use your mind. But you now need to replace the pictures of the mind with the pictures that are consistent with the word of God. Because the picture in your mind will soon be the picture in your life. The picture in your mind will be the picture in your life. There is nothing God can do for you if the you you see in your mind is different from the you God sees you to be. The you you see in your mind will overshadow the you God has seen. So if God says, I will do a new thing, and that new thing, you can't let it enter your mind, you have closed your mind to it, it will not happen. So now, the Bible said, do something for yourself. Change the way you think. This morning, let me share some things with you that can help you change the way you think as you move into a new week in the name of Jesus. The first thing I think can help you to change the way you think is you need to be focused. You need to focus your thinking. You need to let your thinking travel in a particular direction. You don't do wild thinking. You don't do daydreaming. You need to focus your thinking. When you read the Bible and the Bible is painting pictures, let that now focus your thinking to think in that manner. You have to have focused thinking. You have to place something ahead of you and think toward that. Don't let it be random. Don't let things come to you, because you see, thoughts come to us. Thoughts can come from the word of God to you. Thoughts can come from the devil to you too. That's how temptations happen. Temptation is a mind issue. The devil suggests something to you. Why don't you take that pen? Why don't you steal that person's pen? Why don't you take that money? Nobody sees you. Why don't you spend the money like this? Why don't you cheat on your wife? After all, nobody is going to know. It's a suggestion. And if you don't take your focus away from that path and take it to another part of thinking, very soon, what you are focusing your thought on, you start doing it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And how did Jesus become the author and finisher of our faith? The Bible said, woo for the joy that was set before him. So it was joy that Jesus was looking at. That was why he was able to despise the shame. It wasn't that Jesus was just despising the shame because he felt like despising it. It was just easy for him. No, he had a focus on something different. There is something about the power of focus. If you look at something, you will look like what you are looking at. So if you place the things that God wants you to be in your focus, maybe God has told you, you'll be a fashion designer and stuff. Get pictures around that. Put it in your focus. God has told you, you would have this kind of this, this kind of that. Look for things that will help you to focus there. If anything you have believed from God in his word or through his servant to you, find anything that will keep your focus there. Because if you focus on that thing will become part of your life. I pray that for you in the name of Jesus. Everything good that you're focusing on in this season will come into your life in the name of Jesus. So you change the way you think by focusing on the right things. You need to look for things that you focus on in your business, in your career. You need to look at things. It may be scripture. It may be a word of God. You need to start looking at it. For your marriage, a word of God. Yes. That's the success. That's the greatest way you can succeed. Focus on the thing that you believe God is sending you to, and soon you will see it in your life. How do you change the way you think? You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional. We don't just think in a particular way. I don't just think abundance. I don't just think lack. You have to be intentional. So being intentional means that you have to be very, very, very careful and watchful about everything that comes to you. Being intentional means that you will not allow yourself in some company, because you know what it will do is that it will shift your focus. It is going to start painting pictures in your mind. There are sometimes I have been in conversations before that in that conversation, I took myself out of there. I was physically there, but I was not there. Because I saw that this one, where this one will take me to, is going to destroy my life. So I just zoned out. Sometimes you pull out your phone and you just start fiddling with it, because
You are like these people. what they are discussing is beyond my pay grade. It's going to shift my focus because they are talking about how they want to the downfall of another man, how somebody will come down, how you will do something to somebody. If your focus is about bringing somebody down, you won't go up. You know that? It's not possible. By the law of God, you can't go up by bringing another person down. No. You go up by lifting people up. That's what happened to Joseph. Joseph did not bring those guys in the prison down. He lifted them up. Their lifting became his own lifting. So the more you lift other people up, the more you are lifted up. So you have to be intentional. You have to be intentional about the kind of people you hang around, about the kind of music you let play. Oh, I don't let just any music. I don't just listen to any music because the vibe is good. There was one time I would go to parties and then they'll be singing and say, "Pastor, come and dance." I'll be dancing. My wife come and ask me, "Did you hear the lyrics of the song?" I say, "Okay, let me listen." I said, "This one is not good." Some people say, is it not just dance? You people are too spiritual. You people are too something. Let me tell you the truth. Everything you do is painting pictures. Actions, words, they paint pictures in your head. They paint pictures in your brain. Have you not noticed that sometimes a song that you did not learn, you started singing it? Huh? You just started singing it. I've been to place a party and then I'll be humming this song. That one is not a Bible hymn. It's not the song of the Lord. How did that come in? Because I was not intentional. So in this season, I'm praying and I'm asking you be intentional. Intentional where you go to, what you listen to. Program your mind. Program your mind. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, set your affections on things that are above, where Christ is. You can program your mind. You can condition your mind. In psychology, when we were in school, they taught us what is called classical conditioning. They said that you can program dogs, and then you will program them such that when you ring a bell, they will start doing something. Because when you ring the bell, you make them do something. So you ring bell, you took them to pee. You ring bell, you took them to pee. You ring bell, you took them to pee. Next time you ring bell, you don't take them to pee. They go and pee themselves. What is that called? Classical conditioning. And it's also what I'm talking about this morning. Being intentional, setting your heart, setting your mind. Intentionally, I want to set my mind on the God of possibility. I play songs. I play messages. I read scriptures that tell me it is possible. I gather where it is written in the Bible that I will have my children. I gather where it is written in the Bible that I will dominate. I surround myself with all these things. Because the more you do that, as the man think, as the heart of a man thinketh, so is he. As the heart thinketh, the mouth leaketh. The more your mind is stayed on something, your mouth will start leaking it. So that's why sometimes when you see some people and their mouth is leaking, you know that that's what's in their heart. That's what's in their mind. Their mouth is just a window to their heart. It's showing you what is inside. That's what is happening. So, how did David change the way he was thinking that made him to be able to overcome this Goliath? He was focused. He was intentional. And how do you change the way you think? Be biblical. Be biblical. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. You see, why we read the Bible is so that we can think on what we have read. So if you want to be aware, if you want your mind to be rich, your mind to have what God wants you to have, you need to think scriptures. You need to read the Bible. When you come to church like this, you have a scripture that you wrote down. Write it down and go and read it again. Read it to yourself. Play Bible. Let the Bible play in the background. Sometimes I'm not able to sleep. Maybe I travel out of the country and there's jet lag and all of that kind of thing. You know what I do? Is it that I play music that will calm me down and sleep me? Or I play the Bible? The devil doesn't like that one. He will come and blow breeze. This guy sleep. So I just let the Bible be playing. And there is something it does to you. It starts coloring your mind. Even in your subconscious. Because you know, when you are sleeping, you are not dead. You are still awake. You are still there. Something in you is still alive. And you can hear things inside you. You can condition yourself. You can play, put things around you that make sure that things will get into your heart that will bring the newness that God is calling for you. So if there's any particular area that you are wanting newness, I want you to be intentional this week. I want you to be focused, and I want you to be biblical. Gather things biblically. Gather songs that are biblical in nature. Gather words that are biblical in nature, and let them keep being around you. Very soon, you will find out that what you have kept around you gets inside you. And when it is inside of you, sir, when you have succeeded inside, there's nobody that can stop you from succeeding outside. Because before David stood before Goliath, he had killed him. He had killed him because he told him, he said, this day, he told him what he would do. I will not only kill you, I will kill all the people that came with you. How can you come and be saying that if you had not finished it inside here? He had finished it inside here. Will you bow down your heads to God, to Jesus this morning? And I want you to just speak to him. I want you to tell him that you are not longer going to let fear, you are no longer going to let other people's opinion, you are no longer going to let tradition, and most importantly, you are not going to let your mind limit you. Tell him that you yield to him and you ask for his help to condition your mind so that you are aware and you'll be able to appreciate and take in the new things that he has for you in this season. Oh, Father, we believe you for that. We receive it by faith this morning. Let it be. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed.